Hello from my house to yours. Welcome to EMS at Sea Level. I am joined by Matthew from Cofactor. Matthew, thanks for joining me. Cofactor is a relatively new business in this space. So let's start with an introduction to where you and your co-founder come from and what Cofactor is doing for the EMS industry.
Thank you for having me. So my co-founder and I spent the past decade services initially building electrical hardware and software for all sorts of weird industries like concert touring and themed entertainment. Ultimately spent a long time working in autonomous driving with a company called Zoox, helping them build their vehicles, and then sold that company to private equity, ran a quick turn contract manufacturer for a little while, really just because we thought it was an interesting space and kind of wanted to get our hands on this problem set, really, and try to learn in that kind of way because we're hands-on learning type people. And then ultimately, all that led to us building Cofactor, really out of a sense of frustration, having been on the electrical engineering, procurement, OEM side of the space primarily, and finding navigating part supply chains and managing all the data, managing the commerce, managing the physical parts was sort of a frustrating, not fun part of our day. And so Cofactor really evolved out of those sets of frustrations.
Okay, so Cofactor is the tool that you wish you had and wasn't available at the time. Talk me through how the tool works, and if I'm a kind of medium-sized contract manufacturer, what added value I'm going to get from it?
Yeah, so essentially the primary input to our software and our ecosystem is bill of materials, right? So you're going to upload bill of materials that you would get from an electrical engineer. Our system is going to parse that, make sense of it, scrub it essentially. And then you put in how many you want to make and where you want to make them and what the manufacturing requirements are in terms of overages and, you know, things need to be reeled and all those kinds of factors, right, that are real world considerations. Mm-hmm. And then our system is essentially going to automate really all of the sort of manual work that goes in there. And so when we talk about that, we're saying really three key steps. One is taking this data, making it usable. So looking at all of the global supply chain, figuring out where can we get these parts, when can we get these parts, what is going to be the most advantageous way to split up all of our sourcing across all of our distributor base. Mm-hmm. The commerce side, right? So automating the process of issuing POs, getting back order confirmation, tracking all of that, and also the flow of payments so that folks can use the distributors they like to work with and benefit from that, but also for a really long tail of hundreds and hundreds of smaller distributors, cut one PO to Cofactor that's really nice and integrated with their ERP and has no manual data entry. And then we're going to deal with all the sort of messy work of getting all of those distributors to actually deliver the parts. And then finally, the actual management of the materials, right? So rather than dealing with lots of boxes coming from lots of places that have to be counted and inventoried and prepared for the pick and place machine, we provide essentially a managed kitting service that's all automatically managed by the software. So we give people really major labor savings and efficiency savings, a process that might take hours of manual labor normally, can be done in 1 to 2 minutes per bomb total end to end. So it's just really big labor savings, ability to get parts to the line faster and keep the line fed more reliably is really the key value proposition.
Okay. And when I look at that from a pricing point of view, what does that mean to my pricing? So, you know, there'll be some products where maybe I'm really competitive and I've got a great relationship with a supplier. Some components that I hardly ever buy, and perhaps you're buying way more of, so you should be more competitive. How do we manage that dynamic?
Yeah. So day one, if you log into the Cofactor platform, the price you're going to see from all 730 distributors, and that's from, you know, Arrow to the most niche distributor on the system, yeah. Right? You're going to see the exact same prices that you'd see on their website, right? So we don't take a markup there. You don't pay anything additional. Obviously, a lot of contract manufacturers or OEMs get negotiated pricing that's even better than what's on the website, right? And so in those cases, the step is you're going to put in your API keys, and we'll, of course, work with your team to implement all this. But we can use your existing trading relationships where we're still providing all of that convenience of the automation, but we're pulling in your negotiated pricing data. We're using your purchasing workflows, essentially. So you're never going to pay more than you're paying right now for parts. And then you'll pay us for the actual labor of doing all that work. So, you know, it might be 50 cents to pack and ship up a stock lot. So, you know, you can do the math. If it's a 100-line bomb, it might end up being like $50 to do all of the work related to that. And, you know, when we talk to customers, most find that they're spending a whole lot more than that on paying employees to do that for them manually. So typically we can be quite cost competitive. Our goal is always to save folks money, not cost them money for sure.
Yeah. And when you look at the component spend on the on that tail, on that stuff that I don't have access to, are you able to get better pricing there, or is it pretty much the same pricing that, you know, if I was going out just to buy two of a component and you're buying that on behalf of 40 different EMS companies, maybe you'd be getting a better deal?
Yeah, in some cases we can get better pricing. We also can definitely cast a much wider net, and that can be a way that folks can get better pricing, right? So if you're used to going to one broker, for example, for hard to find parts, you might not be getting the best pricing from that one broker, or might not always be getting the best pricing. You know, with one click, you can send an RFQ to dozens or hundreds of brokers all at once, and our system's going to automatically route it to the ones who are most likely to give you good results for those kinds of parts. And so in addition to the supplier relationships you already have and want to use, which is great, we can also definitely extend that. And then rather than going to the hassle of trying to figure out, okay, across, you know, these 20 brokers, which one's going to give me the best rate, you can just do that with a click, and then the system will say, okay, I'm going to automatically give this to one. So they're definitely, especially on hard to find parts, can definitely be like pricing advantages through our platform.
Okay, so I can see some clear advantages there, and I can see some clear value add. What I think is really interesting is this comes at a time where we've got a couple of dynamics in the supply chain that have created a lot of disruption. One is component shortage. The other is talent shortage. So it's hard to recruit people. It's hard to train people. The churn is way more than it should be. So I can see you can add value there. But also, there are a lot of hard to find components. And I guess fast access to as many channels as possible would help in that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely... We like to be really transparent. If the chips don't exist anywhere in the world, there's nothing we can do about that either, right? You know, yeah. we don't have some secret bat phone to the folks Text Instruments to get them to spin up a foundry for us, of course, right?
Yeah.
But what we can definitely do is help be like a huge force multiplier for the team, right? So there are definitely times where folks might be able to track down a chip via personal relationships that are not going to pop up in our platform. But there's a lot of cases in which, you know, you can turn hours of manual going to brokers, going to suppliers, trying to track this stuff down into a couple clicks. And then you also get really sort of a uniform level of de-risking of those purchases, right? So it's not up to our customers to go and try to vet all 700 of these suppliers or, you know, growing number of suppliers themselves. We're going to provide uniform data on, you know, these ones are AS9120, so they're safe to use if you're in aerospace. We are monitoring their performance. We're monitoring and giving you information on how sort of trustworthy they are and how much risk you want to take. We're providing financial protection. So we're saying if there's an issue with these parts, you don't have to worry about that. We'll deal with that on our side. And we provide, of course, automated anti-counterfeit inspections. So we operate our own labs and we're able to pass that through and provide really detailed traceability and reporting on every part. But it's going to be the same regardless of where you source these parts, which gives folks a lot of peace of mind as well.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think the whole idea that you've got that backup of the lab is hugely valuable, because I think we're now in a stage where traceability is super important and there's almost zero trust in the supply chain. So we need to have that verification at every point that it goes through. Last question, as we move into 2023, we're seeing some easing in the supply chain. You're obviously searching the supply chain for numerous people, so you've got a kind of a high level of data. What are you seeing in terms of changing trends? Is the pendulum kind of swinging from the seller to the buyer a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing a trend towards the supply chain crunch we've seen for the past couple of years getting somewhat better. I think it's not as better as people would like it to be, and perhaps as better as, you know, some people are saying it's getting. We're not necessarily seeing that in our data, but we are definitely seeing improvement. Sort of the proportion of BOMs that are buyable from authorized channels is definitely going up. I think what's a little tough to untangle is how much of that is because the actual supply side is improving, and how much of it is because customers are just redesigning their boards to be more responsive, right? And I think that's, we work with contract manufacturers, EMS. We also work heavily with OEM side customers. And we definitely see a lot of them using our tools and other tools to be proactive about just designing for resiliency, designing better, being willing to just really frequently respin boards based on what's available on the shelf, or think about designing optionality into their products day one and then letting our software manage the actual sort of execution of that. And so that is making their lives a lot better. That's not necessarily because that the supply is getting that much better. It's just because they've had 2 years to finally actually adapt and kind of come to embrace a new normal where you have to be a little more proactive about how you think about managing your supply chain. So it's definitely a balance of the two. It's neither, neither of these factors is 100% of it, but combined, it's definitely leading towards OEMs that are willing to be a little flexible, having significantly better outcomes than they were, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting. I think that agility is something that we're trying to build in the supply chain. Agility comes from having good data and fast access to data, and what you're doing helps to achieve that. So maybe helps to get that level of kind of health check on a bill of materials really early on, which is hugely, hugely valuable. Matthew, thanks so much for chatting to me. I wish you every success in the new venture. I know there are already customers using the product, and I know there are EMSs certainly very, very interested in developing that relationship. And I'm really interested to see how it goes going forward. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.